The scripture lesson, part one today, is from Isaiah. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, the second part of the scripture lesson today is from Romans, and it's from a different translation, so it's a little bit more contemporary sounding. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to lose a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around in dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed. Get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Everybody look at their calendar this morning. Know what day it is? It's December 1st. That means Christmas is coming. You got to get ready, right? Well, I love Christmas time. I love going to church on Christmas Eve and coming out, hopefully when just a little bit of snow is falling as you leave the 11 o'clock worship service and head into Christmas morning. I really enjoy the baking and the cookies. Well, I enjoy the cookies. I won't say I enjoy the baking, because I don't do that. But I've never met a carb I didn't like. And I enjoy getting presents, you know, because this is the season of getting, right? No? It's a season of giving, right? Well, that's, you know, I live life pretty upbeat, don't I? Those of you who know me, I live life with a certain joy and exuberance. But this time of year hasn't always been that way for me. I didn't live my life with that joy and excitement of Christmas coming. In fact, I used to dread it. When I was growing up, I lived in a divorced household, which means around this time of year, the scheduling would start and you'd figure out where you were going to be and how you would make sure that you had time at both of the houses. It wasn't very joyful at that point. And the other thing that would happen is my dad, and I do carry some of his traits, would wait till the last minute to buy gifts because Amazon Prime didn't exist. So he would wait, and of course, what happens when you wait and there's a cool gift for that year? What are your odds of getting it? Zero. So every year, and I mean every year, I got the knockoff gift. That thing that was left on the shelves after the Hot Wheels were gone. And it never measured up. So I didn't live life with this sense of hope because I knew I had nothing to hope for because I wasn't going to get what I wanted. And I know this is petty, but it was all about me. And that's how it should have been back then. I was a kid. I'm entitled. And I just wasn't joyful, and it was a difficult time for me. Now, some of you may experience that same thing this time of year. And others of you light up like decorated Christmas trees the minute the stores put their stuff out in September. You want to decorate that minute to get every second of the season, and then some. But today is officially the first Sunday in Advent. And it's also officially, because it's December 1st, the first day of the Christian year if you didn't know that. So when you go around today and say Happy New Year's to someone, you're allowed to do that, and they will look at you really strange, unless they know what I just told you. But it's also Advent, right? The first day of the season. And so Advent comes from the Latin, and it means to arrive or the arrival. You could look at it this way. The advent of the smartphone gave us access to information and has revolutionized the way we communicate, the way we gather information, the way we can figure out where we're going without having to fold the map. But one thing that we really, well, maybe our generations do, but the younger generations really don't use the phone to talk on all that much, do they? So that change, that ability, as we look at it, and then we turn back and say, okay, so we have this Advent, something's changing, and what Advent in the Christian tradition means, it's the coming of Christ. It's the season where we celebrate both the birth of the Christ child and then also anticipate that second coming of Christ in the world and in our lives. So the hymn, Joy to the World, if you didn't know this, it's been giving voice to the Advent season for 300 years. It was written in 1719 by Isaac Watts, and it's a poetic interpretation of Psalm 98. Now, here's how it says this, "Shout for joy, all the earth, burst into jubilant song." Now, the tune that we sing it to is different than the tune that was used when it was originally written. But that message of joy, that anticipation has not changed. Let earth receive her king. And see, we're getting ready for Christ's birth, for Jesus coming into the world. We're looking to receive our king. But sometimes the busyness of the world can get in the way of that, can it? And sometimes we actually wind up unintentionally pushing God out of the picture. We may be spending too much time getting ready because you have to dust every inch of the house. Or not. We have to spend time shopping, whether it's in the stores or online. I understand that you did not want to go anywhere near a store this past Tuesday, because apparently that is the busiest shopping day before Thanksgiving. So that's my trick to you. Go Wednesday. There may not be anything left on the shelves. There may be no more Kleenex or napkins at Costco, true story. And you have to figure out how you're going to survive. But maybe you're involved in decorating all those cookies you're baking and bringing for me to eat. So feel free to bring some by the church. You know, all those things we do this time of year to get ready, right? You know the routine. Now, some of us are already busy. Many of us are already busy. And so then you throw in all this stuff between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it is overwhelming. It is exhausting. And if you think about it, we're then called to make room for something else. We're called to make room in our lives for God. We're called to do that. And it's not just during Advent, but throughout our lives, throughout the year. And so to help us with that focus and get ourselves centered, we're going to be using Joy to the World every week. We're going to share that, and we're going to lean into joy. We're going to experience that hopeful joy, loving joy, unabashed joy, and peaceful joy. See, in this day and age, we're blessed. We truly are. See, we have Jesus Christ in our lives, and we know that. But yet the world tries to use all the noise it can to drown that out. I mean, we're bombarded. That's the right word. We're bombarded every day with ads and images of things that are supposed to make you happy. We're supposed to be happy if we buy that. You go to this destination, you will be happy. And somewhere along the lines, we lose sight of what joy really is, and we confuse that with happiness. See, we can find happiness. How many people find happiness in Christmas music? Hands high, right? Until the station plays a song you don't like, the little drummer boy, and your mood changes, right? Or You go to a gathering and you're having a great time, and the gathering ends and you're driving home, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I didn't talk to the one person that I needed to talk to because I only see them every 3 years. And your mood changes yet again. See, we try to find happiness through the anticipation, and then we completely miss out on the joy that should accompany it. See, the problem is happiness is externally triggered, right? It's not something inside, it's something that the outside that's coming in, whereas joy is that internal assurance, that peace, that hope. And the way to think about joy is it's that beautiful music playing throughout your life. When things are going well, it swells and it rises. And when things are difficult and challenging, it gets more somber, but it's playing throughout your life. And as we look to Scripture and we try to find joy, and we know it exists, the prophets of the Old Testament, they gave voice to that joy, and they offered hope for God's people. So throughout this Advent journey, we're going to feature proclamations out of the Old Testament by Isaiah. Now, the writers of the New Testament, if you don't know this, they trusted Isaiah so much that they were constantly quoting him. And so they knew that his words were true. And on this first Sunday of Advent, we read from Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5. And they communicate this restoration, a future vision of Zion, one of glory. See, Jerusalem would be the highest and safest point. People will desire to follow the law of God. Isaiah sends out hope for all the nations that there will be no more war. God will settle all disputes between nations. And those weapons of war, they're no longer needed. They will beat from swords into iron plows so that fields can be planted and food grown for all the world. There will be peace, unheard of, unexperienced in this world. Everyone, and I mean everyone, will walk in the light of God, living in that world of hopeful joy, knowing the joy of God. Now, back in 2016, there was a book published, the title, The Book of Joy. If you haven't seen it, you know how to go online and buy books real quickly, so do that. But it's an account of a 7-day meeting between the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And what it is it's a discussion around the question, how do we find joy despite suffering? And what the two spiritual leaders agreed is, while we can't avoid strife and difficulties in this life, our joy is sustained through compassion for others and freely and openly acknowledging our sadness. Douglas Abrams is Tutu's longtime co-author, and he wrote this: being more joyful is not about having more fun. We're talking about a more empathic, more empowered, even more spiritual state of mind that is totally engaged with the world. See, the perspective is not on the negatives of this world, but on what is possible. What is possible among people? And as Christians, in this time of anticipation, how are we supposed to shift our perspective from standing it to lying on the ground and seeing things in a different way, understanding what we're called to do and be? Now, the reading from Romans was out of the Message. And if you're not familiar with that version, it takes a novel approach. And so this entire section, there's not even verses connected with it. It just has the numbers above it. But it reiterates, if you listen to it, it's that invitation that Isaiah had to walk in the light. And it is repeated here. And it says we're to do that while we're waiting for that day of restoration to come. See, the Apostle Paul encourages the church to have this kind of intense awareness, knowing what is happening now and that it's not all perfect, but knowing what is coming next and that Jesus will return, and knowing what Christ can do through our lives. So Paul points out it's up to us to make sure that we don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of those day-to-day activities. because what happens when you do that is you lose track of time, and then you doze off, forgetting about God, forgetting about the experiences we're to have. See, Paul says, the night is almost over. Dawn is about to break. Be awake and be aware of what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the work, the salvation work that God began when we first believed. See, don't waste time in things that will bring, you think will bring, fulfillment and joy. Don't spend time on frivolity, indulgences, dissipations, arguing, and grabbing everything you can. See, we can't afford to waste a minute. We only have so much time because something big is coming. And we're to be ready for it, and we're to watch for it, and that will make all the difference. Get ready. Be aware of what is coming. Look forward to what is to come. There is where is the hope. There is the joy that we're looking for. See, Isaiah encouraged those who were distracted by the fall of their nation to live with joy. They were under rule by someone else. And Isaiah is telling them, have joy. Yeah, right. That's not how it works. But yet Isaiah said, no, God is going to come and will rule with truth, with justice, and with hope. There will be peace. And Paul had those same encouragements to the faithful. They were distracted by all the things of this world, the delights, and those things that get in the way of connecting. But what it was is they were saying, God, through Jesus Christ, has come to rule. Rule in our hearts and our lives and will come again. See, right now we're in Advent. This is the season we're in. It's a time for remembering the glory of God. It is a time to remember that child born in a stable, coming to the earth as we did, born human to save humanity. And we're called in this time of hope to trust in Jesus Christ, knowing that he lives and reigns and he will come again. Isaac Watts offered the Advent imperative, and he did it right in the first verse of Joy to the World. Let every heart prepare him room. Making room for Jesus is that act of hope that will bring joy. Now, I mentioned that I didn't enjoy the Advent and Christmas season growing up. Obviously, that has changed. But it wasn't one of those changes that happened overnight. It took time. And one of the first events that took place that started that change was when I married Sue. Because Sue lived this season with one of joy and hope. And that rubs off, spending time with the families and getting that experience together. But it didn't happen right away. She would actually ask me, what is wrong with you? Which, by the way, she hasn't stopped asking now that I think about it. But it took time. And then the kids came along. And when you see a child truly experiencing the joy of the season, it lifts your heart, doesn't it? It changes your perspective. And I began to move along that path. But it really didn't change for me fully. And I didn't experience the joy of the season until I stopped focusing on me and my happiness and remembering that the joy of the season is about the coming of a child, the coming of a Savior into this world. And when that focus changed, everything changed. See, in this season of Advent, we're called to prepare for Jesus Christ, to open our hearts. See, preparation can take a lot of different ways. It can be through silent prayer. It can be through carol singing, devotions. It can be reading and finding those acts of hope. We remember that Jesus is here and coming and will come again, and we are called to make room for him. So our challenge this first week of Advent is to find a way to make time and find that way to make room in your life for God and for Jesus. Now, you may light an Advent candle at your home each Sunday. You may have an Advent calendar that you were given. You could open that. You may go out into the community room and pick up a copy of Silence and Other Surprising Invitations of Advent. It's a daily reading around the season. Or if you're preparing for guests and getting the house ready, take time that when you're doing those everyday activities of cleaning or baking, just spend time in prayer. Don't just push the vacuum back and forth or watch the little device scoot around. Take time to be in prayer, whether you're wrapping gifts or shopping or somebody's cutting you off as you're trying to get that last parking space. Take time to be in prayer. Open your heart to Jesus this Christmas time. And as each of us prepares room in our hearts to accept Christ as our Savior, you will find even more room for this season, offering hopeful joy to everyone. Amen. The title of our worship series this December is Heaven and Nature Sing. It's from that hymn, Joy to the World, 300 years old this year. But the line first appeared in Holy Scripture, Psalm 98, Heaven and Nature Sing. Nature is filled with metaphors that help us to see our spiritual journey, the coming of spring out of the dead of winter, the beauty and diversity of all that is, the growing and blossoming of plants well tended. Each week we're going to be using a metaphor from nature that is part of the Christmas tradition. This week we're considering the wreath. You can see them around the room. See, the wreath has been around for thousands of years. It goes back to ancient Greece and Rome. Olympic athletes wore wreaths as a sign of victory. In Rome, to have a wreath on your door was a sign of status. Today, we think of the evergreen wreath as a celebration of unity by its circular shape. It is the adornment of life and color and joy in the midst of winter. And with the Christmas wreath, we remember that true victory is when all people and all creation are recognized as beloved of God through Jesus Christ, when all nature sings. So let us enter a time of quiet joy, a time of silence to contemplate these questions. Who needs hope today? What situations in this world are in need of the hope of God? Where would you hang Christmas wreaths, a sign of God's victory in love? Please go to God in prayer.
As we continue in a time of prayer, great and glorious God, the universe is evidence of your amazing power. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For every gift, every blessing, and every breath you provided for your children, we give you our thanks not merely seven times, but 70 times seven. Do we take clean water, conveniences, food, people, and shelter for granted? Or do we express our gratitude for the many blessings you provide? Do we become consumed with worry about things out of our control? Or do we express our gratitude for the gift of salvation you offer? Do we become exhausted from a daily grind that focuses on ourselves? Or do we express our gratitude through service to others in love? In the midst of holiday hustle and bustle, we give thanks for your hope. In the midst of hate and anger, we give thanks for your love. In the midst of daily pain and sorrow, we give thanks for your joy. In the midst of strife and struggle, we give thanks for your peace. Encourage us to study your word so that we may learn your ways. Lead us to repentance so that we can become more like your Son. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we may know your peace. Help us to leave legacies of gratitude instead of entitlement. Lord, we pause to express our gratitude as we prepare room for Jesus, as he modeled ways to live with one another, as he opened our communication with you, as he accepted the burden of our sin. Thank you for sending us a Savior who also taught us how to live. Hear us now as we say together the words he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.